We're going to start. Happy New Year. Welcome to 2022. We're going to go ahead and get started with our first lesson tonight. But first of all, a couple announcements, but also a prayer request. Be praying for your fellow classmates and some of the leaders who aren't doing so well health-wise. Just be praying for the health to improve and be able to attend things in the future after they're able to. So let's be praying for that. And then a couple announcements. First off, if you weren't here recently at church when they were handing out these packets, for those of you going to ice camp, we have them back here. I think Cody, do you have, I don't know if maybe Cody has a bunch of these. Yep, and maybe you need someone else, I don't know. Okay, Lana has them too, okay. If you need them, raise your hand. We want to make sure you have these packets. For those of you going to ice camp this Friday who did not get one, please raise your hand and keep your hand raised until you receive one of these. And make sure that you follow instructions. I know this is hard. I fail at following instructions. We all tend to fail following instructions, but this is really important. There's a waiver that if you do not have filled out and signed, you can't go, okay? Like, this is a serious thing. If you do not have your parents fill it out and have it signed before Friday, you cannot get on the bus. So, well, were you raising two hands? All right, hold on. You have two. Does anyone else need one? Back there? You didn't get one. Okay. So they went over there. All right.
I have yours.
I don't know. I don't know if you have one. I got yours. Okay. I'm not giving it to you either. All right. Okay. The next thing about those of you going to ice camp. So those of you not going to ice camp, you can just delete the next 15 seconds of instruction. Be at church at 12:45. If you are here and the bus is gone, we are not coming back to get you. You will not come with us. So there's two things if you do not follow instructions on. One, the waiver. Two, be here on time. After that, you'll be coming to ice camp with us and you'll be having tons of fun. I just texted my buddy who lives like 10 minutes from the camp. He says they have snow right now and they plan to have some more. So unlike years previous, I heard there was no snow. This year there's snow there right now. So as long as no one goes up there with a blowtorch, we're good. All right. You got the packets. I said bring the release. Oh, also, for those of you not going, there's no Sunday school this week, okay? So if you come here Sunday morning at 9:30, you will be by yourself, unless a bunch of you show up and want to teach each other. That's cool. But Scott, myself, whoever else that's going will not be here, so there will be no teaching organized, okay? That's not an open invitation for you to come here and throw balls at the wall, though, because other classes will be happening. Is that clear? All right, good. Okay. Scott, made me make that a point, that there will be no ball throwing Sunday morning with other classes, so if you're here, okay? All right, I don't know if that ever happened before. All right, so welcome back. I know it's been a long break, and we're gonna jump right into John 15. So one, if you have your workbook, open it. If you don't, open your Bible app or and or your Bible, you know, those things out of paper.
It's a book. I don't know if you've heard of them. They're kind of cool.
So if you got one of those, open that too. All right. Okay. If you're on John 15, or if you're on, I don't even know what page number it would be in your workbook, but it's lesson 10, right? Sorry, I already had it open, so I didn't even look. Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then I'll read. So I'm going to pray first. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much. We praise your holy name. We petition to you right now, those that are sick, that you would bring healing. Those who are in grief, that you would bring comfort. And those that are needing encouragement, that you would give them strength and joy to their soul. And we pray that you would inform us through your word, and that we may know your will through this teaching that we're about to embark. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. All right, let's go ahead and everybody stand up so we can read this passage. So this passage starts off with an I am statement, so we're going to jump right into it. So John 15, and it's 1 through 11. So we're going to start with, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father who has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. You may be seated. Thank you. Okay, we're going to take a step back real quick. We're in John 15. We did not read the previous passage, but in the previous passage, it talks about them leaving where they were in the upper room, and now they're transitioning, they're kind of traveling through the garden, right? And so it makes sense that he's going to be talking about fruit and plants and vines and all that such, because they're now in a different setting, right? And so that's the setting we're in. So the other things that are happening contextually, so what's going on around this event, this meeting, and this teaching that's happening, is that we're in Passion Week, right? We're right before Jesus' crucifixion. There is a lot of activity going around the city and also around Jesus at large. The religious leaders are looking to murder him, and using Judas as their inside man, so to speak, to finger Jesus at the right time so that they can arrest him and then crucify him for what they believe to be crimes. So we're going to go ahead and jump into some observations. So I know in your workbook there's a section where we can note some observations, and so we're going to go through a couple of those. So as I like to normally do, I'm going to ask a few questions. What are some of the first things that pop out to you observationally in the text? Any key phrases, repeated words, things like that? People, places?
It says abide.
Abide, yeah, there's a lot of abiding in this passage, right? Very good. Anything else? Go ahead.
Commandment.
Yep. We've talked about commandments in the past too, right? He's talking about commandments again. Anything else that sticks out?
It says like fruit and like branches, like
oh. Yeah, fruit and branches. Very good. Who's mentioned and who's the target of this teaching? Think about those things, right? So number one, Jesus, I, right? He's speaking, he says I. He talks about the Father, my Father, right? He's talking to the 11 disciples who are left. Remember, Judas is gone. He's out selling his own destruction, right? So keep that in mind. Okay, so Jesus is talking to the disciples. He references the Father. He references fruit and abiding and commandments. There's another L word in there I really want to pound in there, right? Love, right? Okay, and there's one more that sticks out. Well, there's two more that stick out, but one that I really want to talk about, and that's prune, okay? Right? That's really important. So we're going to talk about pruning here in a few minutes, but let's take a step out of the Bible for a moment, and let's talk about agriculture. Let's talk about planting things, right? So if you walk up to a tree and there's apples on it, what do you think? It's an apple tree, maybe, right? If you walk up to a vine and it's got grapes, what do you think it is? It's grapevines, right? It's grapes. If you walked up to a random vine that has no fruit, is it easily identifiable without any like notable color characteristics or shapes? If you just kind of, I'm not really sure what that is, right? It's kind of hard to tell what it is, right? And a lot of times we define the thing by what it produces. The fruit, or like walnut trees, other trees that have other kinds of nutritional value to us, or plants, we look at those and we say, hey, that's a tomato plant. And then what type of tomato it is can really drive what kind of plant it is too, right? We like to define things in that way. As such, this same way of identifying things is what Jesus is trying to talk about for Christians. That we will be known to the rest of the world, glorifying the Father in heaven and Jesus and the Holy Spirit by our fruit. Now, that doesn't mean that we need to focus on the fruit in a false way, but understanding that Jesus is putting an order of operations, an order of process here, where he says flat out, I am the vine, you are the branches, and the Father is the vine dresser. Now that term is not a term that we're used to. So what do you think a vine dresser is?
The person who prunes the fruits on the vines and who just takes care of the vine.
Yeah, that's really well. So I have some friends who own some land, and they grow a lot of different things, but one of the things they grow are grapes. And dressing the vine is a process of curating, pruning and shaping either the trellis or understanding how to tie off the vines onto the trellis or some sort of wire apparatus to have the vines grow. And to bear much fruit, they sometimes have to cut off certain vines that they don't like where they're at or the way they look or the fruit it's early producing. It may not be what they want. Sometimes they have branches that they can tell or start to not really show much in yield, right? They're not going to have a lot of fruit, but it'll suck resources from the vine, so they cut it off. So the vine dresser makes those decisions. That's what Jesus is saying about the Father. The Father makes these decisions, okay? Now, when it talks about abiding in Jesus' His word, his love, abiding in me, that's really talking about the branches staying connected to the vine, right? So if you cut off a branch and it has fruit on it, what's going to happen? I think I heard someone say that it would die under their breath. So you, whoever said that, you're right. And specifically, like, think of grapes, they shrivel up, right? And turn into raisins. They may be good, they may be bad. But generally, that branch will die, right? So if you're cut off from Jesus as a Christian, you're not going to bear much fruit. Or if you're cut off from Jesus, you're not a Christian, and you won't bear any fruit, and you will die and perish. And that's what Jesus is talking about. It's alluding to being connected to him is salvation. And so if you're not connected to Jesus, you're not saved. And therefore, you will not bear the fruit that is of being a Christian. Now, what's very clear here is a question that comes out of the text that you read it and you start asking yourself, well, how do I know I'm a Christian, or how do I know I'm in Christ, or what kind of fruit should I be producing? Those types of questions are natural. So if anybody has those types of questions and wants to explore that, please reach out to your leader, and they'll talk to you more about what that looks like maybe in their life, or how they've walked through their seasons from being new Christian to the mature Christian they are today. But we're going to focus in on this fruit, and specifically spiritual fruit. And so what I would like you to do is, if you have your Bible in app or in book form, go to Galatians 5. I'm not going to read all of this, but I would like you to at least mentally note or highlight reading Galatians 5, 16 through 26. And it's talking about walking by the Spirit. But specifically, what's important is when you get into verses 22 through 23. And it lists out kind of like some descriptions of what spiritual fruit looks like, right? These are the results of you being in Christ, abiding in his love, and walking in the way that we are called to walk. Now, that's a study that I think would be great for you to look into that more. There's actually a great resource on our website, and Rooted did a study back in 2019. So for those of you that were here during then, awesome if you remember all this. If you don't remember it, it's on the website. We can share that link with everybody. But there was a Rooted study on the fruits of the Spirit, and specifically deep dives into this. So it'd be a great refresher for those of you who were there, or a great introduction for those of you who've never heard it. But the things that I want to highlight about the fruit, and I know that I've asked myself this question quite often, you know, what's the fruit that is showing up in my life? And some of the things that I would like you all to consider, and this is a great list that I got from another great pastor, Dr. John MacArthur, but it's a great list to start from, to start asking yourself some really key questions about the fruit in your life. The first thing I'd like to point out is, if you're new in your faith and you're still growing as young adults, even in here, your fruit may not look the same as older adults or more mature Christians, because you're just getting going, right? Jesus is still doing a great many things in you to get you prepared for ministry for the rest of your life. When I was your age, if you were to ask me, especially if I was 14, I had no fruit because I wasn't saved yet. But 17 and 18, there was some, but I wouldn't have been able to pinpoint it, right? I would have looked at a lot of my acts of service, but not necessarily the fruit I'm about to talk about. So number one, and this is something if you want to jot it down or note it, just even mentally, is the first fruit that you'll see in practice in your life is repentance, okay? It's a natural result of being saved by Christ, is that you'll be repentant of your sin, and that will play out in your sorrow over your sin, grieving your sin. And in 2 Corinthians 7, 8 through 10, Paul talks about that in pretty good detail, and him actually celebrating people being grieved over their sin, because that is a fruit of being saved. The second thing is, and this is a really important point, because this is what comes out of Galatians, is a fruit in practice, so to speak, is spiritual attitudes. So Galatians 5, 22 through 23 are those attitudes. Those are those results, okay? You can't force yourself into those spiritual attitudes. They're what are going to come out of you by being saved and having a love for Christ and abiding in his word and growing as you grow in your maturity, as we call it sanctification. Each day you're just growing more and more Christ-like. The third thing that's going to be showing up in your life and practice is worship. And I'm not talking about just singing songs. That's good. As a musician, guitar player, worship leader, I love that. I gravitate to that probably more often than not. But the other things that show up in your life are acts of worship are obeying your parents. I know that's not easy, trust me. I know that. Secondly, what shows up in worship is a desire to read the word and grow from it. Not just read it to consume it, but to display what that means in your life. Walking out in service of your neighbor, loving your classmates, your peers, loving those around you that, if we were to be honest, humanistically don't deserve it, right? Someone who's wronged you, someone that you feel slighted towards, someone that's withheld something from you. Forgiveness is an act of worship. And so that's the fourth thing to think about is the how you conduct yourself and how you behave that glorifies God. And so that, you know what, I forgot to mention something. And when it comes to worship, a great resource would be Hebrews 13, 15 through 16. So if you want to read Hebrews 13 later, that's great. But when we're talking about acting in a way that's glorifying God, that really is highlighted in Colossians 1, 9 through 14. So if you want to go read that later, that's really helpful. We're talking about fruit. And then the last thing that I want to mention this, and this is not in order of any kind of preference other than following in a logical path for me, but sharing the gospel. A fruit that will show up in your life is that you're sharing the gospel with others. You're sharing that gospel, pointing out how that's affected your life, but also sharing it directly with people, walking them through how Jesus is their Savior and their Lord, and that they can be forgiven, of their sin, and that they will be in glory with God forever, and that in the future, Jesus is going to return to this world and make it all brand new, and that we will have an eternity with Him in His love and His grace. So in Romans, Paul talks very specifically about going to visit Rome to preach the gospel, and that is fruit that he sees, that he would reap a harvest among them and the rest of the Gentiles. So there's a lot to think about. I said a lot of things about fruit, talked a little bit about what it means in context of John. The last thing I want to leave you with, and I think I've done this almost every time, is I've referenced Peter every time I've talked to y'all, but I'm going to do it one more time. 2 Peter 1. I'm not gonna read all this out, but I strongly suggest you read this, and it is very pertinent to today. In 1 and 2 Peter, Peter is writing to suffering believers and how they're suffering and how God gets the glory even in that suffering. But one of the things that's really impactful to me and should be impactful to all of us is in 2 Peter 1, Peter is exhorting them to count it all joy. And that is very hard to do, but that our joy is found in Christ alone. And that last part of John 15, 1-11 harkens to that as well, is that Jesus says that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. I don't know who is here, and I don't know all of your hearts, and I don't know everything that you're going through, but know this, that although you may be suffering right now, things may not be easy, that Jesus gives us a source of joy and strength and can ease our sorrows. And it may not be soon, it may not be your whole life, but if you believe and trust in God and believe that Jesus is who He says He is, that He's the Savior of our souls and has paid for our sin on the cross, and you believe that and trust in that, you are saved, and you will have a greater joy, a joy that you will never know in this world, you can never comprehend forever in eternity with Him. So we're going to go ahead and break out into small groups. Please remember all the things I said in the beginning. If you're going to ice camp, bring that waiver and be here on time. Those two things, okay? So thank you, everyone.